everyone, and welcome to episode 8 of the Scared to Death podcast. My name is Sarah Dunn, and I am an undergrad student at James Madison University. Today, we have Dr. Jamie Kurtz with us, who is a professor at JMU and also teaches various courses here at JMU. Hello, Dr. Kurtz. Would you mind telling us a bit about yourself?
Hello. Thank you for having me here. I am, as you said, faculty member in the psych department. I've been at JMU about 12 years. And I primarily teach social psychology. Sometimes I teach a positive psychology capstone, research methods. I've been known to teach personality a time or two. And I do research, as you'll soon probably hear about, on savoring and gratitude and happiness. I also take students in the summers to Scandinavia, and we study the world's happiest countries. So looking forward to that, hopefully finally happening this summer as well.
Awesome. What got you interested in positive psychology and gratitude?
Well, I was very fortunate that when I was in graduate school at the University of Virginia, my advisor was part of what was then a fairly new movement in psychology known as positive psychology, which now is fairly commonplace. And so I was really lucky to be kind of exposed to that research very early on. And as someone who was interested in psychology, but also trying to figure my life out, it really resonated with me, this idea that you could study happiness and, you know, gratitude and savoring and all these things that go along with it. And not only, you know, understand it from a research perspective, but also study something that could maybe potentially better people's lives. And I have to say my own life as well. So, it was just kind of serendipitous at the time. I didn't even really know research on happiness and all of those other things existed.
That's awesome. In the upcoming, you will be presenting at XP on savory and gratitude. Do you have any surprising findings from researching that?
Well, I don't want to spoil it, but but I will say that one thing I found over and over in research areas is that we often don't really know what will make us happy and what will give our lives meaning. And we have some really notable blind spots there. So with regards to savoring good times, some of the strategies that I'll talk about aren't necessarily the most obvious things in the world. In fact, sometimes they're just a little bit counterintuitive. I'll just give you one that I'll be focusing on. So when we think about time in a positive experience as being short or coming to an end, it helps motivate us to kind of be in the present and savor it extra. But people don't like that mindset, right? So when I'm teaching my senior capstone on positive psychology, we always talk about the fact that you should really think about the fact that college is almost over. And that will help you appreciate it more. And people really push back against that. They're like, no, I don't want to think about that. That's a bummer. I want to think about having all the time in the world. And it's like, well, go ahead and do that. But you're going to be less motivated to make the most of it if you feel like you have this abundance of time. So that's one example of like kind of a counterintuitive finding with regards to like what we think makes us happy and what the research shows.
Yeah, I definitely resonate with that one for sure. If you could leave someone with one tip to live a more positive life, what would it be?
Oh my gosh, I just get one?
As many as you'd like.
Can I have two?
Yeah, some favorites.
Okay, cool. So one, I think don't try that hard. Like don't stress about it. Don't obsess about it. One downside of studying all of this happiness, gratitude, and the like is that you can get really obsessed with how happy you are at any given moment. And there's a whole other area of research that suggests that when you start pursuing happiness as the end goal, you get one, really self-focused, not very communal in your mindset. And you also are likely to feel disappointed. And it's just not natural. Like happiness just kind of is the byproduct of living your life a certain way and not something you can just force. So I would say like, you know, tune into yourself, learn what tends to make you happy and maybe what research says, and then just sort of trust the process. Don't obsess about it. And that's, I found a little easier said than done. The other thing that I would suggest is, this is probably harder and I still don't know how to do this, but like, we're so governed by shoulds in college, in professional life, in so many aspects of life. Like, I should be studying right now. I should be going to the gym. I should be doing this. And it makes us miserable. So kind of tuning into what authentically feels good for you. What doesn't feel like work? What doesn't feel like a push? Just something that you enjoy doing. I think about, like, you know, what, when I wake up in the morning, what am I excited about for the day? And as I look at my phone, as I start to think about work, certain work things, that joy kind of tends to go away. So, like, is there a way to think about what makes you excited when you wake up in the morning, and how can you do more of that and not get distracted by all the shoulds, I guess, that we put on ourselves? So if anyone, you know, has advice on how to do that, please let me know, because I don't, but I'm trying. And I think probably, you know, decoupling ourselves from our technology would be a good start, but again, it's hard.
Yeah, I love both of those. Thank you for sharing. And then, especially as you mentioned before that you've taught social psychology, when did you first learn about terror management theory, and what did you think of it, especially that you teach positive psychology and very happy topics?
Well, I first learned about TMT when I was in graduate school pretty early on, and my advisor talked about the death guys. So like I guess the original researchers in the field. And he didn't love it. He sort of had a negative view of the death research. And I honestly don't really remember why. So you could take that out if you want. But yeah. And it wasn't in any of my textbooks. It was maybe a little bit too new at the time. Mm-hmm. And now it's in my social psych textbook. It's kind of everywhere. I've learned more about it from like Hidden Brain podcast and from hearing about your lab's work. And I didn't really see a natural overlap, to be honest, between some of the things I was interested in and the TMT perspective until recently. And I think it's really cool. And certainly death anxiety is a real thing that we all experience. So neglecting to acknowledge that is, you know, a huge oversight. So I'm glad people are looking at it and finding out such interesting things.
Hello, everyone. This is Peter, and I hope you all are enjoying the episode. I just wanted to take this quick minute to invite you all to attend the SPSB annual convention for 2022, and more specifically, the Existential Psychology Pre-Conference. This convention will take place February 16th and 19th, and the pre-conference will take place on the 16th. If you're enjoying the current conversation between Sarah and Dr. Kurtz, I invite you to come on the 16th to hear Dr. Kurtz give her research talk on scarcity of time, savoring, and gratitude. Additionally, there will be other exciting speakers at the pre-conference, such as Dan McAdams from Northwestern University, Jamie Goldberg from the University of South Florida, and Rachel Menzies from the University of Sydney. I invite you all to come on this day. Registration is still open, and it's sure to be a blast. Art and the Terror Management team here at JMU is even presenting a couple posters at 10 a.m., so I invite you all, if you're listening to this right now, to come join us on Wednesday. Well, now with that being said, I hope you enjoy the rest of the episode. Now back to the podcast. Sarah, take it away.
Okay. How do you think positive psychology can be used to help someone suffering with death anxiety or who has high mortality salience?
This sort of goes along with what I just said about how my research and TMT align a lot better than I thought. Mm-hmm. Initially. So I don't have a great answer ready, but I think that, you know, the focus on gratitude, on taking a broad view of your life, stepping back and, you know, cultivating nostalgia for the good times, cultivating gratitude for the good times, focusing on social connection, I think can help you feel more tethered to this life. Those are all things that they talk about in positive psychology. So I think that those things can really go together. And you know, there is the whole literature on post-traumatic growth that you might be aware of, this idea that when you suffer something traumatic, you know, one response is trauma. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, a function of uncontrollability and how upsetting it was and how resolved you've made it for yourself. But there's also post-traumatic growth, which is the sense that you had this really major shift in how you think the world works. And people who experience post-traumatic growth just naturally feel more grateful. They feel more spiritually connected. They feel more socially connected. And, you know, often I'm sure death anxiety is a huge part of that because it's often some kind of brush with death. So I think the post-traumatic growth literature is a nice way to kind of connect positive psychology and TMT or death anxiety in something kind of that I think resonates with anybody who's had like a serious trauma and came out of it with a new perspective.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you for pointing out that connection. And then we're going to end on sort of a heavy note here. Yep. What do you like to do in your free time?
Oh, I like to be outside as much as possible. And thankfully, it's getting to be that time of year when that's more of an option. So I love running outdoors, biking outdoors. I love doing triathlons. Really stupid things like running up mountains and running marathons and things that make you maybe aware of your mortality in a good way. And love going to wineries. We have so many beautiful wineries around. And travel, which I kind of moved down the list because I haven't had a chance to do it much lately, but that's hugely valuable to me. So those are the things, and being with my cat, Peanut.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you to all of our listeners, and we will see you next week.
Thank you.